It's a good place to be this morning. I enjoyed every bit of it, seeing all the kids up here, and I remember doing the joy bells and, you know, singing and all that. And I remember at the time, you know, I didn't like going to practices and everything and getting in front of people, but, you know, it taught me how to do things for the Lord and how it's most important to do things for Him, even if I don't want to do it, right? It's all about Him and not about us. And I think learning that at a young age, it helps us to do that a little bit better when we get older. So I enjoy seeing them and just thinking about, you know, when I was that age and doing those things. Anybody have a testimony tonight to start out the service? We've got I was told to announce there's a business meeting after the service tonight. We've got Hands to Praise, as you can see. They've got a bunch of stuffed, so that's going to be a good performance, I'm sure. I remember some of it last year, and I supposedly it's supposed to have been improved this year, so it's going to be even better. And then Brother Rob will be preaching for us. So, any testimonies before we get a congregational song?
All right. I'm glad to be here. Thankful to be here. Thankful to be a Christian. Thankful for my grandkids. I was playing with stuff up in the basement that time, just us. And they start singing Christian songs. Now that was a blessing right there. And they started asking me, well, where does the Holy Ghost live? And they were asking questions that I can't answer. But, you know, it's incredible that they're that inquisitive and they want to know about God and where the Holy Ghost is. It's impressive. They got that somewhere.
Yep.
And I'm proud of that somewhere.
Anyone else? I believe Lexi has a congregational song for us.
Page 137.
Like there was a new congregational song leader there, so she did a good job. Lydia, yes, sorry. I don't know everybody's names. So Lydia's doing the congregational songs for us tonight. She did a great job. Anybody have a testimony before we start taking prayer requests? Okay, any Any prayer requests at this time? Any other prayer requests at this time?
Older than myself.
Anyone else? Remember the hands to praise as they perform. Pray for them. Pray for Rob as he brings us the message. And pray for the business meeting after the service as well, whatever needs to be taken care of there. Pray that the Lord's will be done. Anyone else? All right. The altar's open. Everybody feel free to lead out in your own prayer. I was just thinking, just as we were praying here, for some reason God put it on my heart. A lot of times when bad situation, you know, you see a bad situation happen, you know, and you're praying about it. Well, at least for me personally, I pray that they'll see God somehow in this situation working or something like that. But for some reason, God just not put it on my heart when I was praying. He said, in this particular situation, why don't you pray that they see that how the devil has worked in this situation, so that they can turn away from that or see that they need God to help them fight against the devil in this situation. And a lot of times, I don't know why, that just caught my attention, the way God just kind of put that on my heart. But a lot of times, like I said, I'm always praying that they'll see God, but sometimes they need to see that they've done something that the devil's got them to do, to get them to think, man, I'm going down the wrong road right now. And then they might need to see that and understand that, to say, oh, I need the Lord's help now, because I'm going down the wrong road. But if they never see that, you know, the devil's got a hold of them and is doing, kind of working in their life, they may never think that they need to turn towards God, right? I don't know why God put that on my heart, but yeah. Any other testimonies tonight? Okay, we're going to get another congregational song and then hands of praise. Go ahead and get ready. I know you guys need a little bit of time to get all set up. So while we're singing, hands of praise, go ahead and get set up back there.
Page 160.
There is God sent the angel Gabriel to the town of Nazareth in Galilee with a message for a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to Joseph from the family of King David. The angel greeted Mary and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was confused by the angel's words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Then the angel told Mary, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God is pleased with you. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of God Most High. The Lord God will make him a king, as his ancestor David was. He will rule the people of Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How? How can this happen? I am not married." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come down to you, and God's power will come over you. So your child will be called the Holy Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. No one thought she could ever have a baby, but in 3 months' time, she will have a son. Nothing is impossible for God." Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it happen as you have said." And the angel left her.
At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. all returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for him. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel assured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart.
Mary! that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect land? And this sleeping child you're holding is the great.
Pretty good fellow, and I like him a lot. And he tells me about the things he sees going on, and it's frightening. It really, really is. But I'm kind of like you. I pray that that the Lord will kind of open their eyes just to where they can see how far the devil's taken, because they need to be able to see where they're at, how far they've strayed, and. I think he tells me some things just to try to get me shook up a little bit. I don't know, but I don't know. Maybe he just wants me to pray for this whole world. I don't know, but you know, I pray for him because he sees a lot. He's a young fella, and you know, those guys see a lot, and it affects them.
Yeah.
It really does.
Amen.
And we need to keep them in mind. We need to keep remembering them. Because
right.
They go home to a wife and children.
Right.
And we need to remember those guys and gals.
Yeah.
We really do.
Yeah.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Separated from God, you know, we had that gap there, and he said it's not a coincidence, and he said I didn't even have trouble responding. He said it was designed that way, because one man sinned, we were separated, one man went to the cross for us and died for our sins. And I thought when he said that, I thought that's probably one of my favorite songs. And Chip's mom, she loved that song. Now, she wasn't a church-going lady, but that was her favorite song, and she even told us that she wanted us to play that song at her funeral. And I can remember when we were planning her funeral looking and saying, look, I know she wanted that song played. I'm not really sure how that's going to work out with all this stuff. And so, anyway, I just, every time I think of that song, I think of her, but I think of one man. And it's I know we celebrate Easter, it was when our sins were forgiven, but I thought he brought forth that plan through a little young lady that was probably scared out of her mind. But I thought because of one man's sin, he had to come, but he restored us. And I'm thankful that he did that, and I'm thankful for the kids doing that, and Meredith and Kelly working with them. I really appreciate it. You may not think it was a feat for them to be in here, but I think if you talk to them, it was a pretty great feat to have this in here. If you remember last year, we were over in the gym, and we wanted to see if we could do it in here this year. And so I'm thankful that they did it so we could stay over here and didn't have to set everything up. But I appreciate what they did tonight, and I'm going to thank them.
Amen.
Amen. Well, that was awesome. That was awesome. And if you didn't think it was awesome, then you probably should just come on down here right now. And then when we're done praying, then you'll think that was awesome. That and what it portrayed was awesome. God is good. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Might be a little bit different tonight because, believe it or not, as much as I don't do technology, I found out tonight that I'm a little dependent on technology, but we can't see the screens, so I can't see, well, some of you all can see them, but we can't see them, right? So we're not going to turn them on. Therefore, what was going to be up there won't be, and that had a, yeah. I found I'm kind of dependent upon the screens now. Let's put it that way. Oh, no, that's fine. That's fine. We'll go. God's good enough. God will pull us through. Right. right. Mark, chapter 6. If you found that and you can, please stand for the reading of God's word. Mark 6 and 42. Mark 6 and 42. The 42 is just to kind of bring you up to where we're at. You'll understand it when we read it. 42 says, "And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments, and of the fishes. And they that did eat the loaves were about 5,000 men. Straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent the people away. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing." You may be seated. What I want to talk for just a few minutes is he saw them. Not just he saw them, and I think I've actually titled a sermon similar to this not too long ago. He saw them, and he sees you. He saw them, and he sees you. It's important for you to know, it's important for me to know that he sees you where you're at. He sees you in life, what you're going through. He sees you in life exactly at all times where you physically are. He's always seeing you. He never does not see you. Sometimes we feel like he's not around. Sometimes we feel like he can't hear. Sometimes we feel like we can't hear him. We feel like he's far away, but he's not. He always can see you no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's going on in your life. Jesus, like in this situation, they were out on the water and he was up on the mountain, seemingly distance away, far away, without him. But he was always watching over them. He was always looking at them. He was always seeing them. He always knew what they were going through. He always knew when he said, "Get in the boat, go to the other side," he knew where they were at the whole time. He had his eye on them. Just like when you're walking through your life, God has his eye on you. God knows what you're going through. God knows where you're at. God knows what's going on in your life because he sees you. Now, I want to look at a few different things. Now, first off, I want to look at how can he plan for my life? How can he plan for your life? How can he plan for our life? Because Jesus tells us, was that me? Okay. Because Jesus tells us in Revelation chapter 1, he says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and I am the ending. I'm the one who makes it happen. I'm the one who starts it all. I'm the catalyst that makes it all from the beginning, from the end time." And when God created, think about this for a minute. I don't know why, but I just wanted to sit down. Because the stool was here. In the beginning of time, God said, "Let there be." Amen. Did he not? He said, "Let there be." And pow, or bang, there was. Right? See, I have a thing about the Big Bang Theory. Who believes in it? Don't raise your hand. But you can, because I don't care either way. You know, Big Bang, not a Big Bang. Here's my thing. God made it happen. God might have said, "Let there be." Bang! And there it was. So you can have you can believe in the Big Bang because something started it off. And that's a whole different message. But I know this. The Bible says God said, "Let there be," and pow, bang, boom, zing, wop, pow, whatever. It happened. There it was. He was the beginning, the catalyst that made it happen, that started off. He said, "I am the ending." It means when the time is done is when he says time is done. When he says enough's enough, that's it. But that's not the only beginning that God is, because I wasn't around 6, 7, 8, 10,000 years ago, or however many years ago this world was around. I wasn't around, but I had a beginning. They tell me it was November 11th, 1970. I don't remember it, so I just go on their word. I just believe what my mom and dad said. And I have a piece of paper that says birth certificate that the doctor signed. Now, could have been November the 12th, for all I know. Could have been, December the 3rd. I really don't know, but I know this. I had a beginning. And in that beginning was God. God started it. God formed me. God created me. God made me. The Bible, because think about this for a minute. What do you mean God was my beginning? What do you mean God is your beginning? Because there's lots of opportunities for babies to happen and it doesn't happen. And that's about all I'm going to say there. But you know what I'm talking about, right? Then it doesn't happen. Same thing with medicine. They say medicine heals people. No, God heals people. Because people get sick with the same thing. Some medicine works, some of the medicine doesn't. Why is that? Because God lets some get healed, and God doesn't let the others get healed that way. God makes, God ordains, God creates you and me, everybody who was ever born. God said, all right, it's time for that to happen, and it happens. Right? He's also going to be my ending. He gave me my first breath. The Bible says he breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of Adam, and I think he does it every time. He breathes the breath of life into you when you're born, and the Bible tells me that at the end he's going to give us our first breath, and he's going to take our last breath, and he's going to say, all right, enough's enough, time to come. And he's going to pull us up because he is the beginning and he's the ending. He's the one who started it all and he's the one that's going to end it all. He's the one that's going to end the world. He's the one that's going to end your life and my life. The Bible in Isaiah says it like this. He's the one that is that declares the ending from the beginning. He has it laid out already. He has it laid out. He knows exactly how long it's going to be. He knew exactly when he said, let it be, to where he's going to say, that's enough. To where he said, let it go, to where he's going to say, let it stop. From the beginning, the Bible says, he declared the ending. From way back there. He also says in Isaiah, he says it like this. He says, he's the one that from the ancient times declares things not yet done. From ancient times, long time ago, declares things not yet done. That's the future times. Yet things yet to happen. God already talked about it. God already laid them out there. God already said, this is going to happen. A, B, C, it's going to happen. So from the beginning, he's the one that put it out there. You see, Job tells it like this about your life. Your life, Job says, God is the one who determines your life. He said, our days were determined by God and our months lie with you. God knows your very life. From beginning to ending, how long it's going to be or how short it's going to be. How can he make a plan for you? Because he has always been around and he knows what's going to be. You know, he's already there when we get there. He's already in tomorrow when we get into tomorrow. Wouldn't that be awful? He's already in Monday morning. How many of you would like to be in Monday morning already? Now the retired people go, what's Monday morning? Same as Tuesday morning, right? To working people, it's like, Monday morning. Good Lord, it's Monday, right? Instead of, good God, it's another day. Thank you. It's on how you look at life. Good Lord, it's Monday. Or what do you say? Good morning, Lord. Yeah. Who wakes up that? Don't raise your hand. Who wakes up, good morning, Lord, it's Monday? Don't raise your hand. But how better would Monday be if I woke up going, thank you for another day, even though it's a Monday. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, not in 20,000 years when I'm retired. You know, you get your Social Security statement and it says your full term of retirement. You know what mine says? The day after you die. That's what it says. Don't even count on it, Rob. Just figure you're going to die. Then we'll give you your money. Yeah, then we'll give you your money. So he lays it all out. He's got your life laid out down to the months, down to the days, down to the hours. So when he lays a plan out for you, you know he knows exactly what he's talking about. How? Because he's there everywhere. Where can you go to get away from God? Where can you go? The Bible says, David says it like this. Where can I go to get away from your spirit? Where can I flee to get away from your presence? And he takes two or three verses, maybe six or seven, and he goes on to say that no matter where I go, you're going to be there. If I take the wings and fly to the end of the morning, if I go to the other side of the sea, if I go into heaven, if I go into hell, no matter where I go, God, you are there. No matter where I walk, you're there. No matter where I run, you're there. If I want to hide, you're there. It says if I go into the dark, it's like the light to you. Because dark and light are the same. Not to us. So people are afraid of the dark. Who's afraid of the dark? Nobody. I was afraid of the dark when I was young. Terrified. Because your house made noises and it was ghosts walking around. Because I knew it. It was ghosts walking around. Not that it was an old creaky house. It was a ghost walking around. Yeah, I was afraid of the dark. But you know what? In some situations, darkness is good. Because they can't see you. They, the enemy, can't see you in the dark. So that's good. But the Bible says it to God, the day and the night, they're the same. They're the same. He's like the ultimate cat, right? Can't cats see in the dark? Rabbits see in the dark? It's the ultimate. He sees everything. That's good. Because if you're saved, that means you can't get where he can't see you. You can't get away where he can't see you. If you try, now, if you're a Christian, you're not going to want to try to hide from God. If you're a Christian, you're not going to try to get away from him. The bad thing is, if you're not saved, you can't get away from him. You can't get away where he can't see you. The Bible says you're going to go into the dark, so your evil deeds will be hid. But to God, it's daylight when it's dark. So you can't get away. The good thing about his plan and his life and your life is that you can't get away because he's always there. He will be there with you, for you, by you, beside you, in front of you, and behind you. He's going to be wherever you're going to be. He's always going to be there. And you're never going to be alone. He said it like this. Aaron quoted this morning. He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Amen. You will never be alone with God. You will never be alone. Sometimes we feel like we're alone, don't we? Talked about it this morning. Sometimes you just feel like you're alone. On that video, they said they felt like they were alone even though they were amongst a million people. Sometimes it feels like no one's around that cares. No one's around that loves you. And we can't even feel God. But God said, in that moment, know this. Live by faith, not by sight. Live by faith, not by feelings. Live by faith, knowing what I said, that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will not come against you. I will always be for you. So God says you will never be alone in this thing. You will always be with me. Even when you don't feel like you're with me because I promise that I will never go away. It's what he said in Matthew 28, 20. He said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Always, through it all. God is always there. God is always there. He's always around. He's not going to leave you. And that's the good thing. The good thing is he's always going to be there. So you will never, ever be alone. Middle of the night, he's there. The good thing about God is he's always there, but he's always listening. He's always listening. Because sometimes, spouses, do you ever talk to your spouse and they aren't listening? You know what? Every wife said, uh-huh. Every guy said, what? They weren't listening. Sometimes, you know, we're watching something, right? Important stuff, like Mountaineer football, right? And somebody else starts talking.
Preach, brother.
Now, and with that, if everybody will stand. And we just hear Charlie Brown's teacher, right? I mean, we're watching, you know, the quarterback, and we're watching the ball. And we're wah, 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 wah. They really want us to hear, but we really want to hear, but we would rather hear that. So we don't know what's going on over here. We just know they're talking, right? You hear about it later is what you hear. God never does it. You know what I think? I think of it like this. Remember the days of call waiting? You know? Hold on, somebody else is calling me. Who's ever had that said to them? Hold on, somebody else is calling me. Let me click over. If you've had that said to you, raise your hand. All right, let me tell you what I think they just said to you. You're who I know I'm talking to is not as important as who I'm not sure who's calling. I mean, it might be the president, but it might be the person I don't like, but I'm going to put you on hold to get to them. God's never done that. I didn't do that because I don't like call waiting. But God says, you're the important one. But you know what? At the same time, he tells you that, he tells you that. And he tells you that, he tells you that, and you that, and you that. And he told me that. He said to you all, to us all, you're the important one. Everybody else can hold for you. And I think, wow, I'm that important? Yeah, but he also told you that. He said, everybody else can hold but you. He never put anybody on hold. He wants to hear. He cheers for Mountaineer football later. He records it on DVR and watches it later when he's done talking to me. Who watches Mountaineer football? Well, that's right. Did they win? That's right. Are they going to a bowl? Is Marshall going to a bowl? Yeah. I didn't know. But I do cheer for him. But God says, I love you enough. I love you so much that I'm going to know your life, never leave you, always listen to you, always be there for you. That's what I promise I'm going to do. Live your life like I'm with you. Live your life like I'm listening to you. Live your life like I'm there. Live your life like I care. Live your life like you're never alone. Now, he has a plan for you. Do you know that? Do you realize God has a plan just for you? Just for you. Now, let me read it to you. Here's what he says. Here's God's plan just for you. I'm going to give you your plan for your life, God's plan, so you can never say, I don't know God's plan for my life. He says in Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation. That's my plan for you. Work out your own salvation. His plan for you is to get saved. That's the number one plan God has, that you would get saved and go to heaven. That you would get saved and go to heaven. That you would get saved and go to heaven. Does that excite anybody? Two of you. That you would get saved and go to heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And go to heaven. Yeah. That's his plan for you. He did everything he can do except make you get that plan. Make you take it. He could do that. But he says, no, I love you too much to do that. I'm going to do everything I can and then give you the plan and say, here it is. Just take it. Take it. My plan for you is that you would get saved and go to heaven because I love you that much. That was his plan for you. That was Philippians 2:12. Jeremiah 29:11 says it like this. For I know the thoughts that I have for you. Now, Living Bible's translation says it like this. I know the plans that I've made for you. Think about this. He thinks about you. How often do I think about him? How often do I think about him? God thinks about you and makes plans for you. Have you ever thought about that? Have you really ever stopped and thought that God, the creator of all, the one who made the blind to see so they could do the lame to walk, the raised to dead, that went to the cross, that rose again, that sits in heaven at God's right hand, thinks about you and made a plan just for you. And it's a plan, he says, for good and not for evil. To prosper you and give you a future with a hope, with a good end. That's what he thinks about you. That's his plan for you. First, that you get saved, and that's your good end, but your life down here is full of hope because he's there with you to lead you and to guide you and direct you and to be with you. Why? Because he loves you. That's why. Because he loves you. He made that plan just for you. Now, I'm going to read something because I want you to know this. God knows exactly when he wants things to happen. Let me read something to you real quick. In Genesis chapter 7, you don't have to turn there, but I'm just letting you know where I'm reading. Genesis chapter 7, verse 11 says it like this. He's talking about the flood. Tell us about the flood. And you want to know how precise and exact God is now. If you watch Pastor Hagee, his John Hagee Ministries, you've heard Matt talk about this. Genesis chapter 7, verse 11 says this, talking about the beginning of the flood. All right, the beginning of the flood. He says this. Check out this for pinpoint, all right, for the accuracy. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of that month, on that same day, were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven opened. Talking about precise, he just forgot the time. Right? He just didn't tell us the time. Told us the year, the day, and or the month, and the day. Because he knows exactly what he wants to happen. He knows exactly when he wants it to happen. Now, your plan that he has for you is laid out there. Remember, from the beginning, he declared the ending. And from times past,
things yet to happen. He laid out your plan. And he's precise like that now. In chapter 8, verse 4 and 5 says, and the ark rested, this is the end of the flood, the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of that month, up on Mount Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day, the top of the mountains were seen. God knows time. God knows time. His watch tells everything. Ours tells the hours. His tells the centuries, the decades, the years, the months, the days, down to the very. Now, he knows. He's very precise like that. And that's good because in your life, his plan for you is laid down to the very day. He knows exactly when he wants that to happen. You see, in Galatians 4:4, he says it like this. When the fullness of time had come, when that moment come, he sent Jesus, he sent his only son to be born under the law. When the moment that he wanted it to happen, it happened. So in your life, he's got you down on time. His calendar has you written down. I looked at my calendar just before I left because looking at a couple of different dates about something. And I looked on there and there's nothing on there, which was good because nothing contradicted itself. But God's calendar, when he pulls it up, he looks and he says, oh, Wendy, on this day I've got that for you. Al, on this day, I've got that chose for you. Mike, on this day, I'm going to have that for you. Because it's that specific to you. That's how God is. That's who God is. He knows your plan. He knows your life. He's in your life. And he's got it planned down to the T. Down to the day. The very day. In the 600th day. In the 8th month. In the 18th day. Tuesday is the only thing left out. What day of the week it was. But he's that precise with you because he sees all of your life, because he knows exactly what you're going through. He knows where you're going. He knows where you're heading. He knows where he wants you to be, and he knows the route he wants you to take. Now, sometimes we take our own route, don't we? And I know better, God. I know better. I've done that. God's told me to do something, and I had a better way to do it, Phil. I just had a better way to do it. I don't know what God was thinking, you know, really. He didn't confer with me first. Anybody ever had that happen? God forgot to talk to me before he made this plan, this part. So I did it my way, and it never works out. And it never works out. And the craziest thing is, when I go back and redo it his way, it always works out. Why don't I just listen and do it his way? Why? Because I'm stubborn and bullheaded. That's why. That's not recorded, right? We can delete that part. I don't want proof later that I admitted that. I didn't admit that. I don't know what y'all talking about. God has the way he wants you to go. He has the path he wants you to take. He has the direction he wants you to walk. And he will lead you and guide you. Why? Because he sees you. Don't forget that. He sees you. He's always with you. He never forsakes you. He always has you in his sight. He always has you in his vision. He always has you in control. Amen. Your life is in God's control. Have you ever thought about that? He has your life under control. Well, preacher, my life ain't in control. I don't know what you're talking about. It's not in my control. It's not in your control. It's in his control. When I think things are all out of control, God's going, I know what's going on. I know exactly what's going on. You know, things happen to us and hits us out of nowhere. Isn't that a saying? It hits us out of nowhere. You know, nothing has ever hit God out of nowhere. Right? Anybody ever went to the doctor and got a bad word? Anybody? Out of nowhere, your life flipped around. And you're like, whoo, wait a minute. You know, God never says that. God never says, whoo, wait a minute. He's never said that. He says, I got her under control, buddy. I got that thing under control. I've got it. Let me have it. Just let go of it. Just give it to me. But God, that's awful hard to do. Well, I know, but if you'll do it, life will be easier for you. Now, it didn't say it would be easy, would be easier. That's two different things. Easier just means it's not as hard, but it could still be hard, just not as hard as going through it with him. See, if I go through it without him, I'm not walking with the one that can see tomorrow. I'm walking with me, who can see right now. I can't even see today later, right? What are you going to do later when we get out of church? Some people say go to Wendy's, right? Wendy's, raise your hand. All right, yeah, that's right.
McDonald's. Anybody McDonald's? Do I hear, what's that pizza place? Husson's. Anybody going to Husson's? Tell me y'all going home. Nobody's going to go eat? Taco Bell. Taco Bell. Oh, we got all kinds of Taco Bells. How do you know that? You don't. What if Taco Bell all shuts down before we get out of church? They just go bankrupt in the next 30 seconds, and they just shut them all down. We can't go. Right? What if Wendy decides she don't want to have a store anymore right now, and she calls them on and says, shut down, I'm tired of it. Wendy, don't do that. We can't see the next 30 minutes from now, but God can see tomorrow. So if we walk with the one who can see tomorrow, the hard today becomes easier. Why would we not do that? Why do I take it on my own? Why do I not go with the one who says, I'm with you, I see you, I'm listening to you, I know where you are, I am always there. I'm there when you get there. I'm there when you get there. Now, one more thing, I'm about done. Because God has this whole plan for your life. Now, remember the first part, the first plan. Remember what it is. To get saved. After that, it's a hope throughout the rest of your life. It's a hope throughout the rest of your life. It's God being there and blessings throughout the rest of your life. Now, one thing God, and if, are there any young people in here? Young people, raise your hand. Thank you. I was waiting for those. Everybody raise your hand. You're all young. Everybody raise your hand. Everybody. Is anybody 969? All right, then you're all young. You know, one of God's plans that I think we need to watch and be careful with is who you hang out with. Who you hang out with. Who I hang out with. And this doesn't change. Matthew Hagee said it like this. I think it was Matthew Hagee. Said it like this. It was Jensen Franklin. Your friends are a picture of your future. Your friends are a picture of your future. And that never stops. That never stops. Someone told me a long time ago, you will be in 5 years like two things. Somebody tell me one of them. Good word, but that wasn't one of them. Somebody tell me in 5 years you will be who you will be based on two things. Somebody tell me one of them. The books you read. What you put in here. The books we read and the people we are around, the friends you have. Long time ago, somebody told me, you will be in 5 years who you will be in 5 years based on what you read and who you hang out with. Matthew Hagee said it like this. He said, your friends are a picture of your future. You will be, Jensen Franklin said it. I'm just giving Matthew all kinds of credit. Yeah. I'm going to call him and tell him to use me money. Let me read what God said to you. Because God said the same thing. That's what he said. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So in other words, the person who don't hang out with the wrong kind of people. Blessed is the man who doesn't hang out with the wrong kind of people, because blessed is the man who does hang out with the right kind of people. Now, one more thing, in Proverbs 13:20. I'm going to read that to you, because this one's even more important. Because a lot of times we think something, let me get this, all right, 13:20, real quick. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. You want to be wise, hang out with wise people. I don't mean smart people. It's good to hang out with smart people. I mean wise people who know what it's about.
Beginning of wisdom is to fear God.
Fear God. The beginning of wisdom. Wise people know there is a God, they serve the God, and they talk about God, and their advice is with God, and when they talk to you, that's what conversations and what life will be about. Wise people, people who hang out with wise people become wise. But the companion of the fool is the man who says, there is no God. So the fool says, I'm not following God. The companion of this person will be destroyed. Now think about that for a minute. Not the fool himself, that's a given. It's a given that the fool will be destroyed because the fool says in his heart there is no God. The companion of the fool will be destroyed. So just by hanging out with them, I think in the law, in the legal field, in the law enforcement, it's called guilty by association. Been there. I've been accused of many things because I hung out with the wrong people. We ain't going there, but it's true. Right? So just by hanging out, the Bible says, with the wrong kind of people, you will be destroyed. God's plan, Psalms 1:1, hang out with the right people. Hang out with the right people. Young folks, not as young folks. Because that never ends. Because peer pressure don't stop. Peer pressure never stops. You know, when we're young, we think, I can't wait till I get older. It's going to be so much easier. How many old us old folks say it's so much easier when you get older? That's right. So get used to hanging out with the right kind of people, young folks, because that's what gets you in life where you need to be.
Amen.
That's what gets you in life where you need to be. That's according to Psalms 1:1. God said, blessed is the man who don't hang out with the wrong people, but hangs out with the right people. Proverbs said, wise, hang out with the wise. To be wise, to get wise, hang out with the wise. To be destroyed, hang out with the fool. God's plan for you. Hang out with the right people. If we can get ready to sing, whoever's singing, whoever's leading. So tonight, God's plan. First, if you're here and you're not saved, his plan is that you give your life to him now. If you're here and you are saved, his plan is to help you throughout your life. Because life is not easy. It's not easy, but it's easier with God.
Amen.
So if you need God's help on anything, anything, tonight, this altar is where you get it. If you need salvation, if you need strength, if you need courage, if you need boldness, if you need spiritual healing, if you need mental healing, if you need emotional healing, if you need physical healing, if you need financial healing, if you need help, if you need guidance, if you need leadership, whatever you need, God says, I have it all. Come get it as we stand, as we sing.
Page 51.
Everybody would Bow your heads for just a minute. Close your eyes. Pastor's only looking around. You're here tonight and you're going through something that you need Jesus to help with, but you didn't come forward. You'd like us to pray for you. We're not going to point you out. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to drag you forward. Just the pastor's looking around. If you'd slip your hand up, put it right back down. Say, I'm going through something. Bless you. Bless you. I'm going through something. I need your prayers. Bless you. Bless that hand. Bless that hand. You know, you can pray anytime. He's always listening. Know that you're not alone. Know that the pastors are praying. Church, hands went up. So be praying for those hands, church. They need Jesus in their life to move in something. Okay, you can raise your head. Now, if you appreciate the young folks that took part tonight, young folks counting Trent, counting Wendy, counting all of them, let them know it. If you appreciate the young folks up there, let them know it. And we appreciate the young folks that help run this show. That's not easy, is it? Where are they at? Oh, okay. All right. Any announcements?
They want to talk. They have a good time when they're together, which makes me happy to see that. But I appreciate them. We have to feed them, but they work hard, and they're here for the right reason. They want to do work for God, and I'm just really thankful for them, and I'm thankful for Kelly that comes out and helps.
Bless you, Mary.
Amen. We've got some young people ready to take up the offering as we exit. We also have the business meeting after. So if you want to help make decisions in what this church does, hang out for the next few minutes and help us make the decisions on what this church does. If you just trust us totally, go on home. Go to Wendy's. She's still open. Taco Bell. If everybody would bow your heads. Steve, would you...